Chapter 63. The trim executive jet, sporting the Numa aquamarine colors, whined onto the landing strip and rolled to a stop within 20 feet of where Sandecker and Moon stood waiting. The door to the passenger compartment dropped open and Pitt climbed down. He carried a large aluminum container in both hands. Sandecker's eyes mirrored a deep concern when he saw the haggard face, watched the slow, faltering steps of a man who had lived too long with exhaustion. He moved forward and put his arm around Pitt's shoulder as Moon took the box.
"You look terrible. When was the last time you slept?"
Pitt peered at him through glazed eyes.
"I've lost track. What's today?"
"Friday."
"Not sure. Think it was Monday night."
"Good God, that was 4 days ago." A car pulled up and Moon manhandled the box into the trunk. The three of them piled in the back seat, and Pitt promptly dozed off. It seemed he had hardly closed his eyes when Sandecker was shaking him. The driver had stopped at the laboratory entrance to the Arlington College of Archaeology. A man wearing a white lab coat came through the doorway, accompanied by two uniformed security guards. He was 60-ish, walked slightly stooped, and owned a face like Dr. Jekyll after he became Mr. Hyde.
"Dr. Melvin Galasso," he said without offering his hand, "did you bring the artifact?"
Pitt gestured at the aluminum box as Moon lifted it from the rear of the car. "In there."
"You haven't allowed it to dry out, I hope. It's important that the outer wrapping be pliable."
"The travel bag and the oilcloth packet are still immersed in St. Lawrence River water."
"How did you find them?"
"Buried in silt up to the carrying handle."
Galasso nodded silently in satisfaction. Then he turned toward the doorway to the laboratory.
"All right, gentlemen," he said over his shoulder. "Let's see what you've got."
Dr. Galasso may have been sadly lacking in the social graces, but he had no shortage of patience. He used up 2 hours simply removing the oilcloth from the travel bag, describing in precise detail every step of the procedure as though lecturing to a class.
"The bottom mud was your savior," he elucidated. "The leather, as you can see, is in an excellent state of preservation and still quite soft." With meticulous dexterity, he cut a rectangular hole in the side of the travel bag with a surgical scalpel, extremely careful not to damage the contents. Then he trimmed a thin plastic sheet to slightly larger dimensions than the packet and eased it into the opening.
"You were wise, Mr. Pitt, not to touch the wrapping," he droned on. "If you had attempted to lift it out of the bag, the material would have crumbled away."
"Won't oilcloth stand up under water?" asked Moon.
Galasso paused and fixed him with a scholarly stare. "Water is a solvent. Loosely speaking, if given enough time, it can dissolve a battleship. Oilcloth is simply a piece of fabric that has been chemically treated, generally on one side only. Therefore, it is perishable." Dismissing Moon, Galasso went back to his work. When he was satisfied that the plastic was correctly positioned under the packet, he began slipping it out a few millimeters at a time, until at last the still dripping, shapeless thing lay exposed and vulnerable for the first time in 75 years. They stood there in hushed silence. Even Galasso seemed caught up in the awesome moment. He could think of nothing to say. Moon began to tremble, and he clamped his hands on a sink for support. Sandecker pulled at his beard while Pitt sipped at his fourth cup of black coffee. Wordlessly, Galasso began concentrating on unpeeling the wrapping. First, he gently patted a paper towel against the surface until it was dry. Then he examined it from every angle, like a diamond cutter contemplating the impact point on a 50-carat gem, probing here and there with a tiny marking pen. At last he started the unveiling. With agonizing slowness, he doggedly unraveled the brittle cloth. After what seemed an eternity to the men pacing the floor, Galasso came to the final layer. He paused to wipe the perspiration that was glistening on his face and to flex his numbed fingers. Then he was ready to continue. "The moment of truth," he said pontifically.
Moon picked up a nearby telephone and established a direct line to the president. Sandecker moved in closer and peered intently over Galasso's shoulder.
Pitt's features were expressionless, cold, and strangely remote. The thin, fragile flap was lifted cautiously by degrees and laid back. They had dared to confront the impossible, and their only reward was disillusionment, followed by a crushing bitterness. The indifferent river had seeped into the oilcloth and turned the British copy of the North American Treaty into a paste-like, unreadable mush.